But that being said, what is the church? I mean, we talk a lot about the purpose of the church. And we talked last week about the fact that it's not just about what you do. God's not as interested in what you do as who you become. And if you become who God wants you to become, you'll do what God wants you to do. You can go out and do what God's called you to do and not become what God's called you to become. But you can't do it the other way. If you become what God wants you to become and who He wants you to become, you will do what God's will is in your life. So what is the church? It's a building. Not a structure like this. We're talking spiritual. It's a building. It's a body. And it's a bride. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 if you would. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 21, it says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." When I say it's a building, we say it's a work. And what does a building have? The first thing and the foremost thing that a building must have is it has to have a foundation. So the church is a building, it's a work, and the foundation in 1 Corinthians 3:9-11, it says there's none other foundation can be laid than that which is Christ Jesus. He is the foundation. Ephesians chapter number 2, again, verse 20, it says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." So the foundation of the church, the starting of the church, that foundation, that chief cornerstone, that bedrock that the church is founded on, that a real local New Testament church is founded on, is Jesus Christ. And then he comes back and he says in Ephesians 2:20 that it's the apostles and prophets, because the Word of God that He had given them is the foundation. That being said, we have the words of God here. We have more than the prophets and the disciples, apostles ever had right here. The foundation is Jesus Christ, and the foundation is the King James Bible. So what do we have? If you have a church that's not founded on the King James Bible, you have a church that's not a true New Testament local church. So a church is a building, and a building has a foundation. A church is a body. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Let's begin in verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." So the building has a foundation, that building being a work, not a frame structure like we are in. This building is just a building. The building, the church, is a work that God is doing, and He frames it together as He sees fit. But the body has a head. Look back at 22. Ephesians 1:22. "And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church." The building has a foundation, which is Jesus Christ. The body has a head, which is Jesus Christ. And the church is a bride. Look at chapter number 5 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5, beginning in verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So it's a building, it's a body, it's a bride. The building has a foundation, which is Christ. The body has a head that is Christ, and the bride has a husband that is Christ. Look at verse 27 again. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, the church is bought with a price. Acts 20:28, the church with God purchased with his own blood. And the church is promised to the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now God keeps his promises, right? Give me a second here. I got the wrong reference here. 2 Corinthians, it might be, give me 1 second. But God keeps his promise, and we're going to look at a promise here that should give us some more peace in these crazy times. We know the building has a foundation, the body has a head, and the bride has a husband. And 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. We're bought with a price and promised to the Lord. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This church has been promised to Jesus Christ. And we know the church is a group of believers, people that have trusted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. We know the church is an organism, not an organization. And that organism is organized into a local assembly that is part of a greater group of people. But God chooses to use a local assembly to reach a local area and to do things together in a local sense, but the church is an organism, not an organization. It's a living entity, and that living entity is made up of all the blood-bought, born-again believers, and all the blood-bought, born-again believers are promised to Jesus Christ. There's your eternal security, amen. And as we talk about the building and talk about the body and talk about the bride, I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about the bride today. If you would, turn to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. The bride lusts after the husband. Now, I know we've looked at these words, and these words, the world has perverted some of these words to the point where you're almost afraid to use them. The word gay, Solomon's gay apparel, doesn't mean the same thing to the world. The word lust doesn't mean the same thing to the world as it does in the Bible. Lust is a strong desire or an eagerness to possess and enjoy something. Remember, it says the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They want opposite things a lot of the most of the time. The flesh wants something bad. The spirit wants something good. The bride lusts for her husband. She longs to enjoy and possess that husband. And that's the church. We long for Jesus Christ. Song of Solomon, verses 1 and 2, chapter 1, it says, the songs of songs, which is Solomon's, the song of songs. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Look at chapter number 5, Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Looking at the bride's desire, the longing for the husband. My love is white and ruddy. My beloved is white and ruddy, The chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as raven. A raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. The bride lusts after her husband. The bride leans on her husband. Look at that verse again, that last one, that 15. His mouth is most sweet, yea, and he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. We sing the song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the bride longing and leaning on the bridegroom. And we can lean on the husband. We can lean on Jesus Christ. We can trust Him. We can count on Him, and we know the promises of God are sure. We are promised to Jesus Christ. But that being said, being bought with a price, being espoused to one husband, the reason it tells the husband to submit herself, or the wives to submit herself to their own husband, is we're supposed to submit ourselves to one we're promised to, which is Jesus Christ. Not the devil, not the world, not the flesh, not the things that the flesh lusts after, but to the Lord and His will. So the bride leans on her husband. The bride longs for her husband. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 3. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. And we are longing for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the rapture. We're waiting to be caught up. We're waiting to one day where He not only indwells us, we will be with Him forever and eternity. We long for that. Some things about the bride. You know what the bride does? You get a bride and a bridegroom. The bride carries his seed. What's the seed of the bridegroom? The Word of God. Remember, they planted the seed, and the seed was the Word of God. It talked about the different types of ground the seed fell on. It's the Word of God, the seed. The bride carries the seed. The bride carries the bridegroom's bloodline. You know, back in the day, before the world totally lost its mind, the wives took the husband's last names. And when they had a child, the child had the husband's last name, because that bride carried on the husband's bloodline. Amen? You ever wonder why that stuff's changing? Because we're in the last days, and they want to pervert God's setup, and God's setup is for the bride to carry on the husband's lineage by carrying his seed and by carrying on his bloodline. Amen. The bride carries the seed. The bride carries his bloodline. The bride carries his name. A good name is better to be chosen than great riches. There's not a better name than Jesus Christ. The wife takes the husband's name. Her actions should show respect for his name. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 9. Verse 9. She's looking for her beloved. In verse 9 it says, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? That's when she goes down through and explains. Talks about him being white and ruddy, and talks about his legs, the pillars of marble, and all these things. And his mouth is most sweet, and there's nothing sweeter than the words of God, amen? Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. And here we are looking at that, and she's carrying his name. Her actions show respect for his name, and everybody's wondering what is so special about the bridegroom. What the world's missing today is being able to look at the promised bride and see that there's something special about the bridegroom. I mean, the world looks out there and they say, well, they've got all kinds of gods. You talk to somebody about God and go, well, that might be okay for you, but what about this God? What about that God? What about the other God? Because they don't know there's a difference anymore. They just think one God's as good as another God, because I don't believe the bride is showing who the bridegroom really is. Amen. There was a time when people gave God all the glory. When something went right, something went wrong. Glory to God. God's got a plan. We know what it's going to turn out for the better. We know God's got it in control. And people would look at Christians and say, boy, they got something nobody else has. There was something about that name. There was something about the actions that showed respect for that name. I don't think born-again believers show the respect for the name of Jesus Christ that they should anymore. You see, the bride's actions represent her husband. Amen. You say, well, a young man, he meets a woman, he gets married, and the next thing you know, the small town, you know, she's down at the bar, she's hanging around with other guys, and they're giving her rides home and stuff, and the next thing you know, that bride is bringing a reproach on her husband. What's happened today? The bride has brought reproach on the husband. Why is that? Because the bride's going places it shouldn't go, doing things it shouldn't do, hanging around folks it shouldn't be hanging around, taking on characteristics of another man instead of the characteristics of the bridegroom. Her actions represent her husband. Her actions reflect on her husband. Remember, the Bible talks many different times in here about people bringing reproach on God, giving people an occasion to blaspheme. Because when we're not doing right, it gives people a perverted view of who Jesus Christ really is, and it gives them what they've been looking for as a reason to say something about Him. If they can get you to tell the joke, if they can get you to laugh, if they can get you to cuss, they can get you to act or react in an ungodly way, then they can say, yeah, that's your Jesus, right? But the bride carries his seed, carries his bloodline, carries his name. The bride, the church, should be wanting to hear from him, like in Solomon 3, or Song of Solomon 3, wanting to hear from God. She was wanting to hear from her bridegroom. We went through some of my grandma's stuff. She had a cedar chest, and you know, old-fashioned cheap cedar chest, you know. It'd been around there since before I was born. Open the top of that thing, and you still smell the cedary smell, and taking the pictures and taking the books and taking the old Bibles and hymnals and what have you in there, and then there's a stack of letters in there. And one of the stacks of letters was from World War II, from her bridegroom. And I remember when she was alive, she would go through there and she would read some of those. She said, here's a letter from Clarence, my first husband, from World War II. Because when those things are going on, people want to hear from their bridegroom. And the bridegroom wanted to hear from the bride. We should be wanting to hear from him. I just don't think that people take the desire. They don't have the desire. They don't take the Bible seriously enough. They don't take the Holy Spirit's leading as serious as we used to be. The bride should want to be led by a good husband. And we have the best husband as the bride of Christ. We have Jesus Christ as our promised bridegroom. Amen. The bride should be wanting. The bride should be washing to be clean for him. Ephesians chapter 5. What's that say again? Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter number 5, talking about the husband and wife, talking about Christ and the church. And we've talked before about a husband that's worth his salt as a Christian should be having Bible study with his wife, with his family. They should have family devotions. Praise God. Verse 26 in Ephesians 5 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word. The bride should be wanting to hear from the bridegroom. She should be washing to be clean for him, and she should be watching. In Titus chapter number 2, verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming back. When? Well, he's coming back soon. How do we know that? Because he's coming back pre-tribulation. We're going to look at that just a little bit. But he's coming back soon. He's coming back pre-tribulation. And we just don't believe that just because it's something we believe. We've got a book that teaches that, that preaches that, amen? A pre-tribulation rapture. He's going to call us out of here. He's coming back soon. How do I know? Because the world is being set up for the Antichrist. Right. The stage is set. Yep. The fullness of the Gentiles is coming to an end. And the Lord's going to call us out of here, and then he's going to deal with Israel. He's going to turn them back to him, and there'll be a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 34, in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 9, in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 10, they all tell us that in the day of the tribulation, the voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom are absent on earth. It's not just because we want to believe that. We believe that because we got a book that shows that. Why would the bridegroom and the bride's voice be absent? Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter. Well, first go to Joel 2. Joel 2. Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, verse 15, we hear we have a blowing of a trumpet, and that's not the call out of the church. It's a coming back of the Lord. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, verse 15. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. It's not talking about a church. It's talking about the congregation of Israel. Assemble the elders, as the elders of Israel. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about blowing that trumpet and the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to this earth with his bride. Now, the only way he could come back to this earth with his bride in the tribulation is if his bride is not here in the tribulation. Where's the bride? Look at Revelation 19. We'll turn to Revelation 19. We're going to look at some other things too, but in Revelation 1, 2, and 3, we're looking at the church. We're looking at church ages. We're looking at the Laodicean church age. Revelation chapter 4, John, a type of the church. He's caught up into heaven. And Revelation 4 and 5, the rest of that, guess where the bride is? She's not on earth. She's in heaven singing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. While God's turning Israel back to him on this earth. In 4 and 5, they're praising the Lord. In 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, you know what's going on? We've got tribulation things happening on the earth. The God, these vials being opened, all these things happening on the earth while the bride's in heaven with the Lord. You see, we're going to be out of here. In chapter number 19, there's a marriage of the Lamb. And then there's the Lord and his bride returning on horses. He has a two-edged sword in his mouth. You know what he's doing? He's bringing his bride back, and he's destroying the beast and the false prophet. And then he's setting up his kingdom. And we see it in Revelation 19. He takes care of all the business he's taken care of with the Antichrist, with the beast and the false prophet. Then we see him binding the devil for 1,000 years and 1,000-year reign where Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, reigns on this earth with his bride. Amen? Hey, we're getting out of here. How do we know? The voice of the bride is not heard on this earth during the tribulation. And neither is the voice of the bridegroom. He comes back with the bride. And the only way he can come back with the bride is if the bride is with him before he comes back. Amen. See, we just don't believe this because it's Baptist tradition. We don't just have a traditional belief system. We got a book. And that book says, we're getting out of here. Praise God for the building, the work that God's done here on earth through Christians. Praise God for the body that He indwells us, and we can walk this world with His Spirit in us to guide, direct, and protect us. Praise God for that, but praise God that we're the bride. And He's coming to get us. You know, there's another verse in here that talks about, well, that's not the tribulation. I think it's Matthew. No, it's Luke. I don't have it written down, but I remember it's in Luke. It says He's coming back, and it says those servants that are not found faithful, and a lot of the Bible, not Bible believers, not rightly dividers anyway, but a lot of Baptists even believe He's talking about the church. But you know what He says when He's talking about these servants? He's talking about the church in their opinion, which is nuts. Because you know what He says He's going to do? He's talking about His servants. Some are faithful, some are unfaithful. And they say, well, that's the church. Some of them are going to be faithful and some of them are going to be unfaithful. You know what He does to the unfaithful servants? He cuts them in pieces with a sword. That's not the church. That's not His bride. That's not our God. Our God has a bride and He's not going to cut her in pieces with a sword. Amen. You got to rightly divide the book. We come back with Him. He doesn't come back to destroy us. He calls us out of here because we're not appointed to wrath. I'm telling you, the stage is being set. It's not Bill Gates' shot and all that garbage. It's not that. That's not it. It's the mindset. It's a control. It's a subtlety that the devil had in Genesis chapter number 3. He's subtly taken over the hearts of the world to where they worship Him. Who is He? He's not the Congress of the United States. He's not the government of the United States, but He is the government. He will be. And they will look to them, the governing forces, for their salvation in the tribulation. And I believe that's really, really close. But we're getting out of here. I mean, we're the building. We're the work that He's doing. Praise God. We're the body. Praise God. That He chose to work through in the church age. But don't forget, we're the bride. Oh man, we are the bride. I mean, when a bride, it talks about the bridegroom and the bridegroom coming back, the bride coming back. When you talk about the bride and the bridegroom, you remember all the traditions of a wedding. You talk about the bride in that white gown walking toward the husband. You know what that is? That's the righteousness of Christ coming down the aisle toward Him. Amen? That's Him looking upon His bride and seeing His righteousness coming toward Him. He said, well, don't let the bride and groom see each other till the wedding. You know why? Because we don't see Him until it's time. I mean, all the things that man has traditionally set up was set up on a belief of this book. And when God took that rib out of Adam, took it right out of his side by his heart where he could walk with his wife side by side. Because when Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to be right there with Him. And when He rules and reigns, we'll be right there with Him. Amen? Before that happens, He's going to call us out of here. He's going to call for His bride. Praise God. Are you wanting to hear from Him? Amen? Are you washing to be clean for Him? Washing water by the Word? Are you watching for His return? He's coming back. He's coming for His bride. Look, if you're saved, He's coming for you. You're going to meet Him in the air. We're going to be out of here. The time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. He will turn the remnant of Israel to Him. He will defeat the Antichrist. He will defeat the beast and the false prophet, destroy them, rule and reign 1,000 years while the Satan is bound. And then he'll loose him for a season, destroy him, and on off into eternity with his bride. We get excited about the rapture, but I'm telling you what, we got a lot more than that to be excited about. This building won't matter anymore. The work, it'll be over for the church age. This body as a temple for the Holy Spirit won't matter anymore. It'll be gone. But the bride's going on forever with Jesus Christ. Oh, we focus so much on the building, the work. Probably not enough on the body, because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should be clean. We should live right. We don't pay much attention to the bride. But he does. He does. And he's up there right now. He's waiting to come get his bride. And as you see the world unfolding the way it is, praise God. I don't have to worry about it. I'm part of the bride. Amen. Oh, Lord, thank you. Lord, that your church is not just a vessel you do work through, but Lord, it's a vessel you cherish because of your righteousness, because of your word, because of your mercy, your grace, your love. And Lord, help us to not get discouraged, but to be encouraged that we're not just a building and a body, but we're a bride. Lord, help us. Keep us safe through the week. And help us to be wanting to hear from you. Help us to be washing, to be clean for you, and watching for your return.